sister's kids at Indianapolis Zoo.
Yeah.
And I spent the night on one of them. They have two ants that are left on their dad's side of the family.
Okay.
They had like seven kids and one just died. So I went to visit the one in Indianapolis. Then they were going up to Michigan by Ipsen Lane to visit their other ones.
That's your decision, man.
And then one of them wanted to see some lighthouses.
See some what?
Lighthouses on the Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to do that. I was just supposed to be there, but we went.
Go back tomorrow?
I think wrong since Sunday.
Oh, okay.
While she left Sunday.
No, I don't mind that.
And all quiet, so.
Pretty relaxed.
They're having a good vacation.
Yeah, she called yesterday and said, like, doing pretty good. My daughter sent me some pictures of everybody at the zoo. So they were all happy, a little slumming.
Good, good.
It was nice weather. It wasn't too long. I didn't hear getting a bunch of storms or nothing like that.
You know our name? Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
There's Sherry.
How are you?
Oh, for good.
Good.
Drink bold, long, long.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for us to begin to sit this evening. And just a reminder, Miller's are out of town. So let's keep them our prayer that make sure they get there and get back okay without any trouble. 829. Mansions over the hilltop. I'm satisfied with just God below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure and soul. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of the city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just on the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll evermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Let's turn over a few pages to 839. 839, when all of God's singers get home. What a song of delight in the city so bright, we'll be walking the heaven's fair dome. how the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, from the sadness on earth, to the foretaste of rapture to come. But a joy can't compare with the glory up there when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, we'll be heard in that land or the foe. Every heart will be light, and his face will be bright, when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home, when all God's singers get home.
If you're able, please stand.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight, thankful for all the blessings that you share with us. Father, there are many of our number that are still needing to be healed and need to feel better and have their needs comforted. And we pray that you will look after those folks, some that are sitting in this very room, have aches and pains, and know that you can touch them and help them along the way. If it be your will, please look over all of us. Father, we pray that you will look over the Collins family as they deal with the loss of Kay. We pray that they will be comforted and be helped to deal with her loss. Father, as we all have dealt with loss in our lives, we know that it can be difficult. We pray that you will help them along the way. Father, we pray that we will continue to work in the community and help to bring more folks your word and help them to live the lives that they need to live so that they can be in heaven with you as well. Father, help us to get that word out. Father, as we go through this service, help us to listen, learn, and apply those lessons to our lives, and help us to be able to teach others and share your good news. As we go through the service, be with us, guide, guard, and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like for you to turn to number 26. Number 26. An empty mansion.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home. Just a humble abode among me. Is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of my troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord promised unto the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask in a mansion above, there to live with the saved and the blessed. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of my troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. When my labor and toil life troublesome way. Any friend and dear loved one will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday.
At this time, I'd like for you to mark 763. That'll be our invitation song later this evening. And before our class time, I'd like for you to turn to 819. 819. The name of this song is I Shall Not Be Moved.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. In his undertiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree as planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Through the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
You may pass your classes.
You can stay here, Sherry. You say you can stay here if you want. Okay. It's good to see you all tonight. But I do have to encourage you because James Miller is not here. He usually talks a lot in class, so everybody else is going to have to jump in and share some things, okay? So I'm counting on you to help me out as we go along tonight. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, the last chapter in the book of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 to start with. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and then will turn their ears away from the truth and to be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Of course, we know that as Paul writes this letter, he's writing to Timothy the evangelist. But I think one of the things that we need to apply also is to ourselves as we look to these things. Yes, he's talking about an evangelist or a preacher preaching, but I think anytime we are dealing with the Word of God and with people, this needs to be on each one of our hearts and our minds as we go along. Because he starts real strong here. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the dead and his appearing in his kingdom. You know, that's pretty strong, isn't it? He's telling them that I charge you. In other words, This is something that you've got to take seriously. This is your calling. Our calling is to fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So our charge, our commitment is made from Paul to Timothy, but to you and me. It's our responsibility to go out in the world and to tell the world about Jesus Christ. The first last part of verse 1 there, about judging the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What's going to happen when Jesus comes again? Who's going to be raised first?
The dead in Christ.
The dead in Christ, then who? Those of us that are left on this earth, and we'll be all changed in the twinkling of an eye and caught up to meet him in the clouds of heaven. Then what? Then everything physical is going to be burned up, everything that's left. People, buildings, houses, earth, moon, stars, it's all going to come to an end. It says the earth and the stars and the moon and sun will all fall out of the sky. So we need to be ready for that day, because right after that, in the twinkling of an eye again, if you will, the judgment day, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what he says, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. So when Jesus' kingdom is here, but it's called up the eternal kingdom, it's where? In heaven. That's right. The eternal kingdom is in heaven. Well, how do we prepare for that then? Verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, always be ready to tell others about Jesus Christ. Is it on your lips? What do you think? Should it be on our lips? Should we always be ready? How do we get ourselves ready? We talked about this in the last chapter. How do we get ourselves ready to do this? To study the word. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, right? A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Handling accurately the word of truth. So study. Study the word. Be ready all the time, in season and out of season. So there's not an evangelistic season and a time to take off, right? And you think about what he talks about here, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Somebody read the last verse, verse 17 of chapter 3 for me, would you?
That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So for every good work, right? Thoroughly equipped. We can be equipped, right? God will help us to be equipped through the Word of God. And the Word of God is to convince people of the truth. To correct or rebuke, right? To rebuke or correct when people are not walking the right way with God. And we're to exhort. That means to say, come on now, we can do this. You know, exhort, encourage, lift up, right? And how long and how should we do that? All along suffering. What does that mean to you, all long-suffering? If you're long-suffering towards someone, what are you? What does that mean to you? Anybody you know that you've had to be long-suffering towards?
You have to go the last mile for
them. What's that?
You have to go the long way for them.
Go the last mile of the way, as we sing the song, right? Okay. Does it mean to be patient?
Yes.
Sometimes it's hard to be patient, you know. We want the wind's blowing that door. We need to just be patient. Just think about it. Is everybody in the same place in growth in Christ? Are we all different in some point, in some way? Do you need to have anybody be patient with you? Long suffering? That doesn't mean we quit teaching, because that's the next thing he says. be long-suffering and teaching. But be patient sometimes. Sometimes it's going to take longer for someone to come to Christ than someone else does, or to live in Christ, but that doesn't mean you quit. Keep on keeping on. Because that judgment day is coming. He just talked about that, right? In verse 1, the day of judgment's coming. Unfortunately, I mean, we don't know that day. I mean, I think about our dear Kate that just passed. You know, she didn't know she was going to fall and break her back and have the problems that she had, and that it was going to go so fast. We need to remember her family in prayers, as Don prayed tonight. But we just don't know. We don't know when that day is going to come. Yes,
James. Not to change the subject, but going back to the dead in Christ, when, like, say, somebody dies and they're in holding, right, until Christ comes back, that's like paradise.
Right.
When Christ comes back, takes the dead in Christ, the ones that are not Christians, are they immediately going to go to hell?
Well, they're in torment, right, right now. They're in torment right now. And so they'll go from
paradise with them.
Yeah, they'll go from torment to judgment. And then, you know, eternal.
So they're not in the holding of Christians.
No, there's a great gulf between them, right?
Yeah, okay, that's nice. Thank
there's
you.
A great gulf between them.
Okay.
And Jesus said, what's it say in 1 Thessalonians? When Jesus comes, he's going to bring them with him. They're going to be the first ones to come and join him.
Good,
no, it's a good question. Good question. Anyone else down through verse 2? Any other thoughts that you have?
In verse 2 it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Who's he talking to?
Who's he talking to?
Yeah.
He's talking to Timothy, a preacher, an evangelist.
I know, but that goes for us too today.
It does go for us too, yes.
That's what I was referring to. That's just not just to Timothy.
No.
Because when you read 3 and 4, it's going to tell them.
That's right.
Like what we've been talking about in Acts.
That's right.
And so therefore, it says be ready in season and out of season, and convince, rebuke, exalt with all long-suffering and teaching. If you're not ready, you can't do any of those things. You can't rebuke with something that's being said that's inaccurate. You cannot teach with patience without already having some of the background of what you're teaching.
Oh, exactly.
And
yeah, we have to be ready.
It.
Yeah.
And so take a step forward. Are we living it? Are we doing that?
I hope that we are, but we should be doing
that. You know, I want everybody to think, are you doing it? You know, not you, but everybody in here, are we actually doing that? I think sometimes we're that way when we walk in the door, and when we leave, we're maybe different. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be the same. And all I'm getting at is that as David Morse always talked about, is that we're practicing Christianity, and practice means continually trying every day do what you're supposed to do, and that's why I'm getting
that
here.
That's right. I mean, it's a daily process. It's a daily process of growing and becoming. I think we have a big mistake if we think that I have arrived, right? Because even Paul didn't arrive. Even Peter didn't, you know, even the apostles didn't arrive. But they kept learning, they kept growing, they kept becoming. And to become more than what they were. And we need to each day continue to grow and to become and to take on the ability to do this, not that everyone's to stand up and preach, but everyone can tell someone else about Jesus Christ as you know the word, as you study and learn what God's plan is for you. We each can know that and share that. So I think that you're right, that this is for us. And I think any time that we read something, even though we know this letter is to Timothy, even though that we know the letter to the Ephesians church was to the Ephesian church, those things, those teachings, those the Word of God is given to us for us today. It's living and active right today in the Word of God. Is that what you're thinking, James 2? So, now the warning in verses 3, 4, and 5, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, and let's stop there for a minute, that they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, sometimes people say, well, that's not how I want to worship God, or that's not how I want to do it. You've got to think seriously about what you're saying if you say that. Who do you want to please, you or God? Sound doctrine is pleasing God. Doing doctrine is the teachings of God. But they're not. There's people today, and there was people during this time apparently that weren't enduring, that were not, you know, not enduring sound doctrine. They were not willing to stay with the teachings of God and teachings of Christ. And so we need to be careful that we do, that we stand on the Word of God and follow just what it says for us to do in our lives. It says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Now, what, you know, itching ears, you know, I mean, you have ear infection, right? I'm laughing at Sherry because she's had ear infection problems. But itching ears, what does he mean by that?
You're just not listening.
What?
You're just not listening.
They're not listening,
no,
right?
Itching ears are more or less.
They want to do, and that's all they want to do. They don't want to do what God says.
That's
they
right.
Do what they want to do.
Exactly, Pearl. Exactly.
Instead of doing sound doctrine, they, oh, that sounds better, and let's change it to that.
Yeah.
Because I like that better than what the sound doctrine is.
That's right.
And in the same sense, how can we continue in God's will if we're not staying with God's doctrine, with what the scriptures tell us? And that's why we have so many people that are misled, because they'll read that verse, like for instance in verse that we're talking about.
In verse 3?
We're talking about the same thing in Acts. It's about people coming in with wolf's clothing.
That's right.
And when we come in wolf's clothing, and this is the itching ear, oh, that sounds better. I'm going to follow that direction. Instead of reading or studying for themselves and what it said, and therefore, how do you know what you're telling is the truth? Sounds good.
Well, if you fiddle around with it and not get to the truth, the devil is on the corner waiting to devour you.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I guess one of the things that we have to understand when we're teaching people about God is that just helping people to see that the Bible has the answers. And it's not a matter of what, you know, people have been taught maybe all their lives or something like that, but what the Bible is teaching. Which is more important, you know, sound doctrine or those that can't endure sound doctrine? That they have their own desires. I think that's really key there, but according to their own desires. We have to realize that we are not smarter than God. Matter of fact, we need God and His wisdom to guide us in our lives if we want to be pleasing to Him. And verse 4 kind of goes on and defines that more. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Turn their ears away from truth. That's what itching ears is turning their ears away from the truth and listening to some other teaching besides what God's word is, besides what God is teaching us. We just need to really watch out for that. First of all, in ourselves, make sure that we don't seek after our own desires, that we don't have itching ears or ears that turn away from the truth, because we want to follow the truth of God, don't we?
Yes.
That's what we want. That's what we need.
Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
That's right. Always steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord. So important that we do that. so important. Then he says, but you, verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. You know, if you stand up for the truth, you're going to be afflicted. You're going to be persecuted in some way by some people. If you keep on standing for the truth, it will happen. And he's talking, again, you see it as do the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist? Okay, tell me, what is an evangelist?
Preacher.
Preaching, that's true. But what else? Is there anybody else that an evangelist besides a preacher?
Different kinds of evangelism.
What's that?
There are different kinds of evangelism.
That's right. There is.
It depends on what you're doing. I mean, you could be someone who went to Africa and be an evangelist. But you could be someone who lived right in your hometown and be an evangelist to the people around you by the way you live and the way you speak and the things you say when they talk to you. And invite them to church, maybe tell stories to the kids, whatever. There's so many different ways.
That's right. So we could say that when Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he's talking about every Christian doing that. And if he's talking about every Christian to go teach and tell, that what it means to evangelize means to take the message of God. That's what it means. Now, an evangelist, a preacher can be, it should be an evangelist. An evangelist should be a preacher, a minister, if you will, also. But the main thing that we need to find out, fulfill your ministry. Our ministry as Christians is to take the message of God to the lost and to encourage and grow the faithful. That's our responsibility. That's our job that we're to be a part of. Any comments down through verse 5? Okay, let's read on then. Let's read verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, Paul says, I have been poured out as a drink offering. Paul gave it all, didn't he? He gave it all. And there's going to be a statement down here in a little bit, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but talks about that he was even faced a lion. And I never caught that before. That was something new for me, that he was in the lion's den. Not like Daniel, but probably in the arena where they turned lions out on Christians. But Paul said, I've given it all. My departure, he says, I know it's about time for me to go to heaven. And in verse 7, if you go back to the early part of Timothy, and I don't have my Bible open right now to that, but Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. And Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And it's not like Paul is bragging, but he says, this has been my life. Did Jesus finish his race? Or was it a failure? Is that why he went to the cross? He went, remember what he said in the garden about what was going to happen? Not my will, but yours be done. He knew what his calling was, his purpose was. He could have called, as we sing, 10,000 angels, right? We sing about that like that. But he did not. Because he finished his race on the cross. And it meant separation from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was separated from God because he carried the sin of all mankind from all time on his back, on his body, through his shed blood. He did that for us. He finished his race. Paul finished his race. Many, many Christians that were put to death in the first centuries finished their race, finished faithfully. And you don't have to finish in torture and such. Many people finish the race faithfully every day today, every life in our lives today. But we're called to do that, brothers and sisters. We're called to finish the race, to fight the good fight, to keep the faith. Does that encourage you? What Paul says here? Can we do that?
Yes.
We can do that, can't we? That's what God wants for us to do, so we'll be ready to meet him when that day comes. And I think we need to be sure we don't take it too lightly. Verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. You know, that's a pretty cool idea. You come through judgment, Jesus says, okay, here's your crown. But the crown of righteousness is that we will be right with God all the time, forever. And we don't have to fight for it anymore. When we meet him in eternity. That's what he's going to give. That's what he says. And is laid up one for you too. Not only for me, but to all who have loved his appearing. He says, there's a crown for you of righteousness waiting for you. I don't know, is there a song about that? I don't remember hearing a song about that. But there should be. We've got a crown of righteousness waiting for us. I don't know, it's in a way, it's, we might think it's sad. It's hard to lose loved ones. But if we know that, I mean, they know, and we don't judge, God judges. But if God knows and judges that we have walked faithfully with him, lived out his calling that he's given to us, that we've got a crown of righteousness waiting for us. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? We need to be ready for it. We need to help those we love to be ready for it. Your thoughts, Don? Any thoughts? I've been kind of off on a tangent here in verse 8, through verse 8. But I'm glad to hear what you have to say here. Any thoughts about this? Okay. Now I'm going to need... I just noticed this, today as I was reading over this. Last part of verse 11 got cut off at the bottom of my page when I printed it out. So I may need your help on that, last part of it. So you can tell me when I get there. But verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with me, for he's useful for what? That's the last three words.
Useful to me for ministry.
For ministry? Okay, good. He is useful for me for ministry. And Tychius, I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Well, Paul is wrapping it up, isn't he? You know, be diligent to come to me quickly. I don't know how much time I have left, you know, because Paul had said my departure time is at hand. Come to me quickly. Now the sad part here is Demas. Demas has forsaken me. That must have been heartbreaking for Paul, don't you know? Demas had been with him. He loved his present world. But Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. I don't think that Crescens and Titus here had done anything wrong. They had just left for the work, gone back to the work. But Demas was one that apparently had forsaken him. And Luke is with me. Get Mark to bring him with you. Now remember that. What happened with Mark when Mark and Barnabas went to Cyprus? You remember? And what did Mark do? Do you remember? Mark left them and went back from the mission, left them from the mission field. And then the next time they went out, Paul and Barnabas had a big argument. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him again. And Paul said, no way, he left us before. And so, but now, who's asking for Mark? Paul. Paul forgave Mark. Paul found Mark to be a useful servant of God. Can we make mistakes sometimes? We do, don't we? Can we be forgiven? Can we move forward and still be useful to God? There was a time in my life, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but there was a time in my life where I thought that I could never be useful to God again. But God called me to keep on working for Him, keep on serving Him. And that it was at that point, at that beginning point, the beginning point when I was the lowest, that God started moving me, for example, to begin study. I began leading a Bible study. I began leading a home Bible study group. And we had several baptisms from that group. And then I was invited to be a part of a mission committee to go to Ukraine, and then and so on. And then my life got fully back into ministry again. God showed me the way. I was asked to go to Ukraine. I thought, what, me? And I said, okay, I'll pray about it. I read Isaiah, here my Lord send me, Isaiah said. And so that became my cry. Here am I, send me. You see, don't ever think that you can't be useful to God. That's my point. Mark said, Mark was left him. Mark was left behind. Barnabas took him on. But Paul, again, apparently loved him, accepted him, forgave him, and brought him back. And then he talks about Tychius at Ephesus and bring the cloak, and you know, the things that, just things that you and I might think about. I would really like to have my cloak. I would really like to have my books and the scrolls. Just think, Paul was a student, wasn't he? He said, I want you to bring the scrolls with me and bring them to me, especially the parchments, I mean. What's important? What should be important to us? You've ever heard the idea that if your house was on fire, would you take, well, the first thing you'd grab would be your Bible? You know, would that be the most important thing to you? What happened if your house was on fire? And you can take just one thing with you. Would you grab your Bible? What's important to us? Okay. Sometimes those kind of things here don't seem that big when Paul's talking about things like this as he closes this letter. But is it important? It is. There's a lot of things there that we can gain from it. Let's read verses 14 through 16. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our word. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. Well, James, I'm going to turn to you, McMillan. Tell us about Alexander the coppersmith and what harm he did to Paul.
I was going to ask you if this is the same one I was going to ask.
I'm pretty sure it must be.
I'm pretty sure it is, the way it's written here. He was talking bad things and raising the crowds up and trying to get them to go against Paul because he was speaking blasphemy against God, which their God was a little God.
Yeah.
It was the Roman Empire.
Right.
And right here, it looks to me like telling Timothy, beware of this man because he caused me a lot of trouble. I can't remember where, was it Ephesus? No.
Yeah.
Was it Ephesus?
Yeah.
Caused him a lot of trouble in Ephesus and caused him so much trouble that he left, I believe.
He left the city.
The people
got him out of the city.
Because he was fearful for his life at the time. Can you see discouraged in their Christianity. And what I wanted to say with that is that when we were talking earlier about, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, when does his race start?
Well, race?
I'm not asking you, I'm asking everybody.
Okay.
When did the race start?
When did Paul's race start?
When he stroke down, blinded on the road.
On the road to Damascus.
Yeah, on the road to Damascus.
When he became a Christian,
right.
That's when his race started. It wasn't on the road, it was when he became
right.
a Christian.
When he became a Christian.
When did it finish?
When he died.
So that's a lifetime of achievement that we have to look forward to. Because also here it says, I have kept the faith. It never says that he didn't stray from time to time and ask God's forgiveness. He said he kept his faith. So therefore he had his faith in God continually and continually to fight for what was right. And so now he's warning Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Right.
Is that more than you wanted?
No, that's what I wanted. That, no, that's good. I appreciate that because that's right. And he says, beware of him. And verse 16 is really a sad verse, but Paul's faith is still strong there. At my first defense, maybe he had a defense before the emperor. He had asked to speak to the emperor, right? When I stood with me, no, all forsook me. Does that sound like Jesus? You know, at his trial, all forsook him.
Well, that's the same thing it tells us in Acts, too, that no one stood with him at first.
That's right. That's right. May it not be charged against them. Remember what Stephen said after he was about ready to die and they've been stoning him? Hold not this sin against them, right? Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We got to be that faithfulness, that steadfastness is always there. Always there. Just verse 17 and 18. 17 anyway. But the Lord stood with me. There's the key. He was not alone, right? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. There's that verse. And the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. We might think that sometimes that everybody's left me. Everything's forget. You know, I've left, been left alone. If you're walking with Christ, if you're walking in the light as he is the light, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Some of the last words in Matthew. I will never leave you or forsake you. He said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. If we will turn to the Lord, he will always stand with us. He will always strengthen us. God is for me. No one can be against me, right? If we will stand with him, he will always stand with us. Even when we feel like we're all alone. And the reason is that the message would be fully preached through me. That everybody, all the Gentiles might hear. What did Jesus tell him to do? What was it when he called him? He says, who are you going to go? Who did he tell him he's going to go to? The Gentiles. He says, I fulfilled that call. All the Gentiles would hear. Just amazing, right? I fulfilled my call. I fulfilled my purpose. Well, our class is done. We're waiting for the kids. 18, verse 18 then. And the Lord will deliver me from every... Well, let's talk about that lion for a minute. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Do you guys remember this, reading that before? I never caught that. I don't know why. I'm sure I've read it before, but it never stuck up here.
You don't think that's just a metaphor?
I don't think so. Because they threw the Christians to the lions, you know, in the arena.
Yeah, but the lions here also could be Alexander and all these people it's talked about before. By them trying to work against him. That's what I want to know.
It could be. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I just know that there are a lot of Christians being put to death at this time.
I understand that. I just didn't.
In the arena.
I never read it anywhere else. So.
No, I never did either.
So I didn't know if it's just a metaphor.
It may be. All right. We'll stop right there. May the Lord deliver you out of the lion's den, right? Out of the mouth of the lion, whether it be physically, figurative, or literally. We don't have too many lions attacking us today, do we? We don't have too many people that are out to get us. Our song leader's leaving, so you better hold it. By the way, class, we will go to Titus next. As we finish Timothy, we're going to move on into Titus next week. Or did James Miller teach Titus while I was gone? No? Okay, so we'll go on into
Titus.
What's that?
He taught out of Titus one time, I believe. But I think it was just one lesson.
Okay, we'll do that then.
That's been a while back.
We've been looking at, Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. I'm going to read a quote. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I just want each of you to be encouraged that we can say the same thing, that God wants us to say the same thing. He wants us to be on so much on course and will with him that we would fight the good fight through our lives, that we would, you know, finish the race, that we would be able to keep the faith through all things that happen in our lives, knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. If you have need to be encouraged, to be prayed for, or in anything tonight, what you come is together, we stand and sing.
Why keep Jesus waiting in the cold? He will bear you gently, gently to his fold. See him so whole and open, I am Lord. Why keep Jesus waiting at the door? Oft he knocketh softly, softly o'er and o'er. Hear him so whole and open. Pleading at the door, he will be your Savior ever, evermore. Love him so whole and open, I am Lord. Why keep Jesus waiting, knocking at the door? He'll cease his plea, yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey him, open our doors.
Brett wants to point out to us that if you're still interested in going to the Ark Encounter, you can get with him by what date?
By Monday or Tuesday.
Coming Monday or Tuesday? Okay, we have some more information in the bulletin, but if you're interested in doing that, you need to let him know pretty soon. Thank you.
to go along with that, he did send out some information today. And so if you have any questions, you probably want to talk to him tonight so that you can make a decision before Wednesday on whether or not you want to go, or maybe you're confused on what some of that information was. So I recommend you talking to him before you leave this evening. The other thing is that this Sunday is potluck. We're going to have potluck downstairs, and we want everybody to come and enjoy themselves that they usually do. But we're going to postpone the men's meeting for 1 week to be the fourth Sunday this time, because this Sunday will be Father's Day, and the fathers can spend time with their family as much as possible on Sunday afternoon. On fourth Sunday, we'll meet at 1:30, so that'll give people time to go and eat and come back at the building here if they're going to be at the men's meeting on the fourth Sunday instead of the third Sunday this month. We also want to keep, as all the ones that's already been mentioned tonight in our prayers, the ones that's lost these loved ones, and Kay Collins, and just there's so many in that family that needs to our prayers that we need to continue to reach out. There is three cards in the back in the foyer on the table on the right. Please sign them. If you don't know, just go out there and read them and sign them. Most everybody knows who Kay is here, but go out there and sign them and show our support for their family and their sorrow. Okay? Doug?
There are 9 boxes back there that need to be delivered to newcomers.
We still have 9 boxes that need to still be delivered. So if you have been delivering, or if you haven't been delivering them, grab one, grab a partner, and deliver these, and try to go and talk to these individuals, and welcome to the community, welcome to the area. I'm sure they will feel grateful for that, hopefully, and have a new friend. Is there anything else that needs to be announced tonight?
Yes, James, I'd like to remember Martha Cooper, my mother-in-law. She's in the hospital.
Your mother-in-law, Martha Cooper?
Martha Cooper.
Okay. Where's she at?
Evansville.
Is that where she lives?
Yes.
Okay. Odell's mother-in-law, Martha Cooper, is in the hospital, and she needs the prayer of the congregation also. Anybody else have anything that has been missed? Odell, you want to give us a prayer?
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love that you have showed us all. Lord, for our visitors that's visiting with us this evening, we do hope and pray, Lord, that if they have any questions, that they may ask them, and we'll be able to not just give them our answer, but, Lord, give them your answer, that they can learn more about that. Heavenly Father, we always ask you to continue to be with each and every one that was mentioned tonight on our prayer list, that you may stop by and visit with them, Lord, and strengthen where they'll be able to be with us upon that next appointed time. Thank you for your manservant. Thank you for his words that he presented to us this evening, that we may take heed to those things that was presented. So, Heavenly Father, as we dismiss from this service, dismiss us not from thy presence, and bring us back up on the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.
She went up there yesterday. Sister Sharon went there today.
Yeah.